Welcome back to Three Guys in a Pod. How you boys doing?
Grizzle. Grizzle great.
We're back, finally. A long hiatus.
Yeah, we took a week off. That was my fault. I had to get nasal surgery, and I wasn't really feeling it last week.
His face was, fucked.
Yeah, it was. I can finally breathe again, though, so that's good.
You sound better.
It wasn't your fault, because when you went under the knife, that's when Greer started making trades, so, like, you were the sacrifice. No.
We need to do it again. Let's get you back under the knife, buddy.
Whenever we need something, trading, surgery.
You came through in the clutch, buddy. Didn't even know it. High as a kite.
Woke up feeling great. I was on a little codeine, but hey.
Drugs are bad, people.
But we're back. So let's get right into it. Travis, we're going to start with your food for thought segment of the week. What you got this week for us?
So this week was inspired by the one and only, you both know him, Billy Blunier. He had a strong, strong McDonald's take. Now, you know, McDonald's chicken nuggets, McDonald's breakfast, pretty solid. But he made the claim and hyped up the McDonald's Big Mac. In fact, he went as far as to say it is better than the Dave's Double. Better than Wendy's. I'm triggered. I'm extremely triggered. The Big Mac is trash, folks. The Big Mac is trash. You know, McDonald's might have been the thing back in the day, and it's, you know, still a good place. You know, people say it's an affordable place, but at this point, is it even affordable anymore? I mean, are you willing to go and pay $6.50 for a quarter pounder? Let alone his wasn't even a quarter pounder. He said Big Mac. Cody, you eat Big Macs?
I haven't had McDonald's since probably 1997, to be honest. It's been a long ass time. I don't really fuck with fast food like that, though, so.
This is
not my area of expertise. Unless you're talking like North Carolina Cookout, like that's our go-to fast food place here in North Carolina.
That's true. You have North Carolina barbecue. Trayton, you eating McDonald's Big Mac?
No, not the Big Mac. I've had an apple pie here and there the past couple of years, but other than that, I try to stay away.
Like, why don't you just throw two burger patties on the grill, grab some Thousand Island dressing? I mean, no thanks.
I thought you were like the McDonald's. Like, you love McDonald's. You love their breakfast, right?
I love breakfast. And that's why I said at the beginning, give me the nuggets, you know, give me a sausage McMuffin, okay. But honestly,
McGriddle.
Yeah, and even a McGriddle. But to say, to go into the burger department, I'm not going to McDonald's. If I'm like, hey, I need a fast food burger, I'm not going to fucking McDonald's. So it just caught me off guard, especially the Big Mac. Like, if I have to, like, if I absolutely have to, like, if I'm literally craving a burger, like, let's say I go to McDonald's and they're out of chicken nuggets for dinner, and it's like the only place, I'll get a quarter pounder. I'm still not getting a fucking awful ass Big Mac. It's just trash. And then to say that it's as good as Wendy's, no. Like, Wendy's is the best, has the best fast food burger. So with that, folks, that is the fast food of the take.
Fast Wendy's got the best. There's fast the hot food take, burger.
Which I have ran that before.
Okay.
We've ran the Five Guys. Five Guys somehow got into the argument of fast food, but then that creates a whole other thing, because is Five Guys fast food?
I don't think so.
It doesn't have a drive-thru.
Yeah, of course it is. What else is it?
No.
It doesn't have a drive-thru.
You're waiting 10 minutes for a burger.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. It's not like a sit-down restaurant.
What do you do when you get your burger?
It's like a lower quality when it comes to fast.
What
I'd probably
do
take it to go. I haven't been to Five Guys in a while, but I would take it to go.
Well, I get it to go.
I'm not going to sit in the Five Guys and eat a burger.
I come home and drink it, but before. That's what you're expected to do.
It's like a cross between Applebee's and fast food.
I get awful looks when I get it to go. Like, people are like, what is this guy doing? He thinks he's too good to eat in this establishment? It's part of the experience. You're supposed to grab a thing of peanuts. Well, absolutely. I grab my Cajun fries, my burger. I come home and drink a beer. Because my mouth's on fire because the Cajun fries. But yeah, everyone looks at you like, grab some peanuts, dude. Sit down. Eat for 20 minutes. So maybe we'll have a discussion on that one. But oh yeah, that's been a hot topic. That's another hot topic. But McDonald's better than Wendy's? I don't think that was a first for me. I've never heard of someone saying McDonald's Big Mac is better than Wendy's.
I'm triggered.
I'm pissed, guys. That being said,
I think they both suck, but if I had to choose, I guess I would probably choose Wendy's.
100%.
But I'd really stay away from the fast food burgers. I'd really get the chicken sandwich or something.
Yeah.
Chicken sandwich is always a go-to. So you, Billy.
On our hiatus, there was a lot of news, and we hit on it earlier. The trade that went down. We traded back with San Francisco back to 12, and then we traded back up to 6. So who do you think we're targeting at 6, Cody?
I'm not 100% sure. I think there's probably a 2 to 3 guys that we're comfortable taking, but I'm happy we made it back to 6. When I first saw the trade down to 12, I was excited that we had so many draft picks. Like, I understood why we would get such a haul, but it was a little bittersweet because I think we talked about it before. Like, we wanted to trade down, but we wanted to find that, like, perfect range, which was kind of like that 6 to 8, you know, starting with the Eagles, maybe the Panthers at 8 would trade up for a quarterback. But we didn't want to go too far because we wanted to get one of those pass catchers, like those big 4 when you throw Pitts and the 3 wide receivers. So if we could stay in range and get one of those guys. So I think Greer stays fleecing. I think he wasn't going to get a first round pick moving from 3 to 6. So I think he really pulled a really great move here to only move down 3 spots and get a future first is great value. But as far as who we're targeting, I feel like my head is telling me something different than my gut. I feel like my head is telling me it's Kyle Pitts just because, one, it's a deep wide receiver class. I think there was maybe an outside chance. Maybe Waddle would have fell to 12. So the desperation to move up from 12 to 6 tells me they might target someone like Pitts. And look where Brian Flores comes from. He comes from New England. What did New England just do in free agency? They paid big money for 2 tight ends, and everyone says they're a genius. But the thought of Dolphins adding Pitts is like, oh, it's too much commitment to the tight end position because we have Gesicki. But, you know, like Pitts, I think he's a wide receiver who has the versatility to play tight end. He can play in line. He can line up outside. He's just like so fluid as an athlete for his size. You just don't see that. So in my mind, it would probably be for Kyle Pitts, like logically, but my gut still says it might be one of the receivers for whatever reason, whether that's either Chase or Smith. But obviously it'll depend on what the teams ahead of us do. I know the Bengals, a little talk there that they might be targeting Chase. But yeah, we'll see. I think we're in a great spot. Offense is going to get a lot better regardless. I'm pretty excited about it.
Travis, what do you think about the trade?
Yeah, I mean, at first, and I know we had talked about this, I think when we did our mock draft and did that, I think we were right around the same, we didn't trade back to 12 and then trade back up, but I think when we did our mock draft, us three, I think we moved back to 7 with the Lions. So when we first traded back to 12, you know, it made me a little bit nervous, because we've talked, we were in the mix, we want Pitts, Waddle, Smith, so I'm glad we made the move to 12 but then made the move back up to 6. And I know Cody has said this before. There's obviously somebody that they want. Pitts, I know a lot of people are kind of like, thinking we'll take Pitts, so I wouldn't be surprised by that. But I still, in the back of my mind, I almost wonder if, and maybe it's just me preparing myself, if Greer ends up pulling the trigger on a defensive player. I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to predict that. So to speak, because, I obviously am on board for receiver. I think we need to take a receiver with the 6 pick. But something just tells me I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a defensive pick at 6. But with that being said, to answer the question, I would probably say Pitts right now. It seems like the most sense to me with moving from 3 back to 12, moving back up to 6. It just seems like, and before the Darnold trade today, I don't know if that would have ended up not happening, but with that Darnold trade today, I think we've got a pretty good shot at Pitts. But I wouldn't be surprised either if he did pull the trigger on a defensive player. But yeah,
interesting. I think if we would have targeted a defensive player, it'd probably be just stay at 12 and hope for someone like Micah Parsons is there. I don't know if there's really a defensive player who's worthy of a top 10 pick for us with those pass catchers there, but. Would I be completely shocked?
I would be too. A little bit. I'd be shocked, but I don't know.
I wouldn't see that happening. I think we are maybe a really good defensive player away from completing the defense, but I think we're definitely targeting some offense. I think one underrated element of the trade is the fact that when we traded back up, we used our 2022 first-round pick, not the 49ers. So if you look at their division, that's one of the toughest divisions in football, the 49ers. And if they're moving up to three for a quarterback, maybe they're going to start a rookie quarterback in the NFC West. That could amount to a pretty sizable trade-up if they have a pretty bad year, and I think we're kind of betting on ourselves there a little bit that we're going to continue to improve and have a pretty good draft pick, or pretty we'd be pretty picking pretty far back if we did. So I think that could measure up to like a pretty amazing trade-up in next year's draft if things go to plan. But Trayton, what are your thoughts? We haven't heard from you yet.
I really like the trade. I think with us moving up to six, I think it means that we're really comfortable with at least three guys. I think it's Smith, Pitts, and Chase, and I'm honestly fine with them. I have them all pretty similar in terms of like if I want them or not, and like 1A, 1B type ranking. But yeah, I really liked it, and I like that aspect as well, because one injury or a couple injuries that they get, let's say Mac Jones gets injured and that's who they pick, then we could be in a really good spot. We could be back where we were this year with the number three pick. So that'd be nice. And another aspect with like the Pitts that I don't get with people is Gesicki, his contract is up in like a year or two. So if like we want to eventually move on, possibly, like if he's asking for a lot, like if we draft Pitts, we can move on comfortably and have a guy to just take over. So
yeah, but why would we need to though? We can play 12 personnel, like do what New England did. I mean,
yeah.
How are you gonna stop Gesicki and Pitts on the field at the same time? If you want to run the ball, you can, because teams will probably try to put an extra DB on the field. If they don't put an extra DB on the field, you know, Pitts and Gesicki are gonna like just destroy linebackers in coverage.
Yeah, I
think it's a
like
mismatch
it.
Waiting to happen. Yeah,
I was just saying it gives us a little bit of flexibility just in case. Yeah. But
it does for sure.
Cody's talking to these idiots who think that he's just a tight end and he's not. The dude's a freak athlete. The dude is a matchup nightmare.
He, like, abused corners in coverage in college. Like, some of the top corners, I saw, like, Sertan, he was trying to cover him at one point. Yep. He beat him inside for a nice slant. Like, he ran a 4.46 or something like that at 6.6. You kidding me?
Pro day time, but, yeah. That's
yeah, impressive. I mean, even if it was a 4.5, I would have been impressed. Like,
yeah.
Especially when you watch him move. I think Gesicki's a great athlete, but Pitts is another level entirely. Just to see him in and out of cuts, he's, like, so fluid. It's pretty incredible to watch. Like, athletes like him do not come along very often. But we'll see.
All right. So what does this mean for Tua then, Travis?
Tua is here to stay. Like Cody and I have been saying, like these morons who just, you know, run their mouth and they don't put, you know, everything into perspective with him. You know, Tua's here to stay, and, you know, we're building around him. I think that showed with the, you know, it showed with the coaching staff moves. It's showing with our offseason moves, getting him Will Fuller. You know, he's our quarterback, and, you know, he's going to get some targets, and I fully believe that he is going to have a incredible season for us. I think you're going to see a big jump. You know, the fact, you see all these workout picks, and I know we've talked about this overreaction and all that, but the fact is he's not just focusing on his body, rebuilding his body. You know, he's getting to work on the important stuff and, you know, taking that next jump as an elite QB.
Yeah, I think we've been committed to Tua this whole process. If you just watched what we've done as far as, you know, bringing in Charlie Fry to be a quarterback coach, working with some continuity with the co-offensive coordinator system. I think, obviously, moving back to six, we're not going to draft a quarterback this year. We're not going to trade for Deshaun Watson this year. The Texans would have wanted to be at three at least to be able to pick their own quarterback. So I think, yeah, and I'm still seeing people saying we're like prolonging the window to pick a quarterback or to trade for Watson maybe next offseason. And I just think that's definitely not what we're doing. I think if we were, we would have just stayed at 12 and had – 2 first-round picks the next 2 years, and then we'd have all the ammo we needed to get whoever we wanted at quarterback. So I think plan A here is to build around Tua. Sure, that first-round pick in 2023, if we need it, if Tua just doesn't improve like we think he's going to, of course we could use it for a quarterback down the road. But that's just not plan A here, in my opinion. I think whoever we were going to get at three, we think we can get at six. So we said, why not just move back a few spots, get some extra draft capital in the future, continue to just load up on talent and always have the ability to get some top prospects. So it's not about quarterback, in my opinion. We're all in on building around Tua. And, it's just up to him now to make it work.
Yeah, once we hired our offensive coordinators and started getting the coaching staff, I realized we were building around Tua, and we're going to try to give him every chance we can this year. But, I don't know. Do you think there's an outside chance that we draft Sewell if he's there? Because I've heard the Bengals really like Chase, and the Falcons, they're a wild card to trade out for a team that wants, like, Justin Fields or Mac Jones or Trey Lance. So you think we would go the offensive line route?
The thing is, I think when we were comfortable to move back to six, I think we had to be comfortable missing out on Sewell, because I think unless we knew beforehand that the Bengals were going to get Chase, I think the assumption has been that they were probably going to target the offensive line. I think there's still a pretty strong chance that they do.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think Sewell is probably not who we're targeting. But let's say Pitts comes off the board at four with the Falcons, and let's say the Bengals end up taking Chase. Maybe the top two people we were targeting, Pitts and Chase, are off the board, and then Sewell is there unexpectedly. I think we consider him. I mean, obviously I'm not going to be upset if we get Devontae Smith. I mean, he's fresh off a Heisman Trophy campaign, like one of the greatest seasons ever for a collegiate wide receiver. So we're in such a win-win now mode, like even like the worst case scenario, like it's a really good outcome for us. But I think if Pitts and Chase come off the board before we pick, I think we'll consider Sewell. It wouldn't surprise me if we passed on it for a receiver, because I think that's what we're targeting here, a pass catcher. But it'd be a mistake, in my opinion, not to consider him. But what are the Bengals doing?
Like, yeah,
someone's got to protect Joe Burrow, right? Like,
sure.
Give him all the weapons and give him all the weapons in the world, but just let him get hit 50 times a year.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. So I still think they're probably going to get Sewell.
Yeah, right? I do too. I was just curious what you guys thought. But speaking of pass catchers, we're going to do a draft here, and we're breaking down wide receivers and safeties for the draft, and we're going to do like a little game. So we're going to preview offensive and defensive positions over the next few weeks leading up to the draft. And so we're going to do a snake draft, and it's going to be 5 wide receivers and 2 safeties, so 7 rounds total. But there's going to be a trivia question to see who goes first between Travis and Cody. And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting. We're going to try to strategize, steal each other's guys, and piss each other off.
This will be a fun way to preview the draft. Instead of just naming the players we like, we can have a little competition here to see who we end up with.
Tell each other your pick sucks. And
exactly.
But so the trivia, it's going to go, whoever gets it first gets to pick where they want to go.
Travis, get off your phone. I see you looking at your phone. I look up trivia answers.
I'm setting bets, buddy. I have important things going on right now.
So it's going to go... It's going to go whoever gets the question right first between those two gets to pick what slot they go in first, and then the second person will go where they want to go. But if they both get it wrong, then I get to pick. And then the first person who guesses, they get to go last. So, you guys ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
So with the Dolphins likely picking a receiver with our first pick, I figured I would relate it to the wide receivers. Since 2007, the Dolphins have drafted 3 receivers in the first 2 rounds. Devontae Parker and Ted Ginn were both 1. Who was the other?
Shit. Oh,
it's a second round guy, right?
Yes.
Nope.
No, he was like...
It was your guess.
It was Jarvis Landry, wasn't it?
You just gave him the answer.
Well, he can have it.
You can't get 2 guesses.
I knew it as soon as I said Devontae. I was like, why did I say Bess? And then I was like, man, I know who it is. Cody gets it.
Cody got the first pick.
For some reason, I was thinking Carew, but he was like a 3rd round pick, right?
Yeah, he was 3rd round.
I thought Trayton was going to make it more difficult.
That was your boy.
I was like, there's no way he picked Landry. It's probably some stupid bullshit that. Okay, anyway. Well, Cody gets that one.
That was a layup, bro.
I know it was.
So, Cody, what spot do you want?
I'm going to go with 3 because I get that first pick in the second round, right?
Yep. So, Travis, you want one or two?
Oh, shoot. Give me two.
All right. I mean, I'm on the board first.
I don't want to mess up the first pick. I mean, you see what fans do with the Dolphins taking two at five? I'm good.
That's a good point.
I don't need that pressure.
Well, Trayton's on the clock then.
With the first pick in the 2021 receiver. Nah, I'm just kidding. So my number one receiver is Ja'Marr Chase. And I know there's... That's my number one.
Yes.
I know Travis is a little... I thought you were pissed.
No, I'm not pissed.
Okay. There's a lot of receivers and like different types of styles and stuff, but what made me pick him number one, he was great with like contested catches, and his best attribute is yak yards. After the catch, he was probably the best receiver I watched in the draft. He broke tackles left and right. He's got a pretty big body. He plays a lot bigger than what he is because he's only like 6 foot, but he's a big body.
1-inch vertical.
Yeah, that's just insane. And he's also, when he had his breakout season, which was very similar to Smith, he was only 19 years old at the time, and he's only going to be 20 this year. I think he just has potential to just grow because his route running isn't even like super clean right now, and his off the press, he can get a lot better. And if he's having that kind of season at 19 years old, I just can't imagine what he's going to do in the NFL with the year off he's had just to work on his game. So that's why he's my number one.
Just run that 4.38 too.
Yeah,
maybe a little pro day aided, but
yeah, that was the seal for me when he got that 4.38, because it's probably like a 4.46, 4.48 probably in like with the combine, but anything under 4.5 is elite for me. So Travis, you're up, buddy.
Well, I have definitely warmed up to the idea of Pitts and Chase, but I do not like to really backtrack, so I'm going to stay on my hill with Devontae Smith. I think, you know, he's still a solid receiver, even with the Fuller addition, even though, you know, the Fuller addition does change things on the field. But, you know, as we've talked, it's a win-win situation no matter who we take. I'm still going to stick with Smith. He was my guy. He dominated all 2020. Yeah, I mean, he's a great route runner. You know, I know separation's the big key word in the Dolphins community. With this past season, you know, he's an explosive playmaker. He gets good separation. And so since Trayton took Chase, like I said, I've warmed up to the idea of him in Pitts, but I'm sticking with my boy from Bama, Smith.
Terrible. Terrible pick.
Thank you.
I cannot believe y'all let me pick three and still get my guy. I was nervous about it, but I had a feeling you guys were going to pass on him. So, of course, I'm going Pitts, number three here. I'm fully on board the Pitts train at this point. I'm not going to quite say he's the next Megatron, because I think there's a difference between 4.3 speed and 4.4 speed. Like, there's a big difference there. But as far as body type and athleticism, he's at least like a poor man's Megatron, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And he's only 20 years old. He can't have a beer with his teammates until like October, I think. So you know how Greer likes him young like that. So,
you mean like Watson?
Uh-oh, let's not go there.
Trayton.
Don't touch that one.
Oh, Lord.
But no, I think, no, Pitts is, if we get him at six, I'm going to be over the moon. Obviously, I like some of the other guys, too. I think I like Chase and Smith as well, but Pitts is my guy, so I'm taking him at three.
Yeah, whatever.
Now I'm back on the board, and I'm going to get Jalen Waddle, of course. And now look at this. I mean, maybe, you know what the Dolphins could do if they take Pitts at six, they're sitting at 18. Maybe they use that first round pick in the 2023 draft and move up for Jalen Waddle. How sick would that offense be?
That would be absolutely.
You got Fuller on the outside, Parker on the outside, put Waddle in the slot. I mean, Waddle's got, his speed is just unreal. Like, you see it on film. He didn't run the 40. I was a little disappointed he didn't do it at his pro day. But he's got like a jetpack on his back. Like, people have the angle and he still beats them. And he's decently tough for some of these slot receivers. Like, he can still catch contested passes over the middle and take a hit here and there. Get the Tua connection from Alabama with Waddle. Little chemistry there. Hopefully carries over. So I would be thrilled with Pitts and Waddle.
His start and stop is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
He's just an insane athlete. I like that pick.
I'm definitely winning this draft so far, so y'all got some catching up to do.
No, it sucks. You blew it with the Pitts one. You should have taken Smith, but I took him, so it's okay.
You took Smith.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm the better GM. You think I should have taken Pitts, but I took Smith because I'm smarter.
Well, you're back on the clock.
So
no safeties yet.
No safeties. So with pick number two, I am stuck on receiver. So I'm going to go the opposite of, since I took a speedy wide receiver, I'm going to take Terrace Marshall Jr., wide receiver from LSU. Ooh. Big body, 6'4", weight 200 pounds. So, you know, I got Devontae Smith. But I like Terrace Marshall Jr. I think his 40 time was around 4.5. Yeah, I mean, he's a good receiver.
He just ran a 4.38.
Was it 4.38?
It's faster.
So I knew he
ran it as fast as Chase.
So there we go. So yeah, I mean, even better. Yeah, even better than, because I knew he had ran a 4.5, but shoot. So yeah, I'm gonna wait for safety. I'm gonna take one more another receiver, because again, that's just the hot topic in the Dolphins community. We want, you know, we've talked about wanting a new receiving core. And so I would go ahead and take him as my second, get another big body in there, you know, good length. He's got a good deep speed, and the mismatches would be incredible since Cody took Pitts. So that's who I would take.
I've been rising on him as of late. I really like him.
He
had a down season this year, but that LSU offense was just terrible.
That's true.
Without Chase there and Justin Jefferson, so.
He's a good alternative.
I like that pick. That was bold. Thank you. Going over Rashad Bateman and Kadarius Toney.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Since I got, you know, since I stuck with my Devontae pick, I got to go an opposite, you know, someone that's built different than Devontae to go along with it. So I'll take it.
Speaking of Toney, that is my pick. He's one of my favorite players to watch in the draft. If you haven't watched his tape yet, just go ahead and put on his highlights. He just plays with reckless abandonment with first body. He's just punishing people, making people miss left and right. His biggest problem is he's not a burner, but he's one of the quickest guys in the draft that he just makes people miss and has such good yak ability. And that's what we were missing last year too, is yak ability along with speed. And he plays a similar style to Deebo Samuel, and I think we could use him with like jet sweeps and quick wide receiver screens and stuff like that. And I think he still has room to grow as a route runner, and I think he'd be a good slot guy for us. Just put him in the slot, let him just do work after the catch. And all right, and then I'm up again, and I'm actually going to take the first safety off the board. And I am going, there's a lot of debates with safety.
It's better not be Mike.
I'm going Javon Holland. He's just an athlete. He's a freak athlete. And anyone who knows anything about Oregon, they know they have speed on the roster, and he was actually like returning kicks at times on the roster. That tells you like the kind of speed he has. I think he played out of position at times, and that's why he's not regarded as the highest safety, like blowing people out of the water. But I think that versatility that he showed, he played a lot of slot corners sophomore year, and then he didn't play this past year. And then his freshman year, he played a lot of like regular safety. And I think that chess piece on defense is what Flores looks for on the field. And he's 6'1", 201. He's not as good in coverage, but I think Flores can coach him up. And with our corners taking guys out of the field or out of the play, I think we can move him around and make sure he's good.
We know how we love those DBs with corner safety versatility. He's played some corner and safety, so I could definitely see us being interested in him. But you took him over.
He's got room to grow.
You took him over a couple guys that are ranked ahead of him in a lot of
rankings.
I knew that's interesting.
I knew that was going to be a little hot. I debated not taking him because of that, but I wanted to get my guy since I have like four picks before.
You got a conviction. You stuck with it. Perfect.
All right.
All right, Travis, you're back up, buddy.
Well, I'm surprised. I really thought you would take Trevon from TCU. But it's not a horrible pick because I know in a lot of mock drafts, they have him going, right after our 18th pick. I think somewhere in the 22 to 25 range is what I've seen a few of them. So I was expecting you to take him, but then I am going to go Indiana since I live in Indiana, and I'm going to go Jamar Johnson. He had a big impact on the IU's defense. IU had people sleep on Indiana, but they actually were surprisingly pretty solid this year. And, you know, one of the big reasons defensively-wise was him. He had two picks against Ohio State, which we know who the Ohio State quarterback was. He ended up the season with four picks. He had four pass breakups on the season. You know, and he has experience covering the slot as well. He's graded well in both areas. He attacks the ball in the air. So, yeah, I'll take Jamar Johnson, repping University of Indiana.
Man.
Wow.
Did not see that one coming. Looking
with those homer picks.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta love it.
I could take a Notre Dame safety. Well, you know.
Well, I think the board is just falling in my favor again. I'm sorry, boys, but we better not put a poll on Twitter after this. I feel like I'm going to win by a mile, but maybe I'm getting a little too cocky. We got a long way to go.
Yeah.
But I'm taking Rashad Bateman, receiver here. I'm a big fan of him. I think he does a lot of things pretty well. He's got a great size, speed, makeup. He's very fluid as a receiver. You know, we can put him in the slot or outside. He's got versatility there. And he just ran, like, under 4.4, like I know pro days again. So take that with a grain of salt. But that surprised a lot of people. So he's definitely got a lot of athletic ability. Really smooth hands catcher. I think he could be a really good receiver. I think if it wasn't for the top four guys, he might even be up in that maybe top 10 range if it wasn't for how stacked this draft class is at receiver. So I'll definitely take Bateman. Now I have three pretty solid options here. And then for my next pick, I'm going to go safety, and I'm going to get my guy, Richie Grant, from Central Florida. Sounds like I took him from either Trayton, but no, I'm a big fan of his game. Trayvon Morrig out of TCU is another guy I considered here, but I like Grant a little bit better. I think Morrig's a little more reckless with how he plays, really aggressive coming up in the box against the run. I think Grant's a little more disciplined. Flores, saw him at the Senior Bowl. He had a great week at the Senior Bowl. So that's another reason why we might take him. We got a first-hand look at him there. He's a ball hawk. I think he had about 10 interceptions in his time in college. He can come up and make plays against the run. Our two safeties now, Rowe and McCain, they're not really playmakers in that regard. Like, they're decent in coverage, don't make a lot of mistakes. But to get someone who can have some playmaking ability, get some interceptions, make some plays on the ball, and also come up and be a physical force against the run, which I think Grant can do, would be a big upgrade. So that's my pick.
That's my boy. I like that pick. Right, I'm not a big fan of Rashad Bateman, though. I'm gonna be honest.
Oh boy.
I watched him versus Auburn last year, and Noah Igbinoghene pretty much shut him down. Other than like one screen game. Ooh.
Noah, that's who Devontae Smith said was his best corner he's ever run against. Yeah. So maybe Noah's, that was more Noah being
which
good.
Which these Dolphins experts, you know, have already saying Noah's a bust, but, you know, it's usually the same people who say Tua's a bust too, so what the hell do they know?
Yeah. I think him and Chase, because you can get him with our second pick if we wanted to, if we went like a Sewell route, and Fuller, Tony, Parker, Gesicki, that's a pretty good combination. I'd be fine with that.
He's got some devastating... The way he changes directions, it's like he breaks ankles. It's pretty incredible. So watch Tony with the ball in his hands, yeah. He
does have some character concerns. Waddle. Yeah, that's the biggest problem, but...
Yeah, so if he checks out, though, I would be over the moon with him. If he's there at 36, I'd be really happy, but it sounds like he might go first. But he's kind of on the border between first and day two.
There's a lot of like debate on like wide receivers and stuff, so there's a chance he slips.
Yeah, there's going to be some surprises. Like, these guys are all kind of, you're kind of splitting hairs with some of these receivers.
There's like 50 first-round prospects.
Yeah.
So that's good for us.
Steve class.
I don't know. I think
I'm with you, though. It took me a while to warm up to him, but I definitely have. But you're not a fan, huh?
He's not. He's in my top 10, but... As I've watched, I thought he was going to be top five easily the way people were talking about him. But when I just watched him, I wasn't like super impressed.
But here's the thing:
I could be wrong.
Minnesota didn't have great quarterback play either.
I know.
There was a few times he had someone beat, like the ball was kind of underthrown. It just didn't look like he had a lot of separation. But I think he gets some good quarterback play. His ability will kind of pop off more. He can kind of be like a Juju type guy in the slot, I think, too. Kind of a more big slot option. So he's got versatility.
All right, Travis, you're up.
All right, so Cody.
Three safeties off the board.
Cody's just going to. But the problem is Cody's willing to roll with. What, you're going to roll with Bobby McCain this year? No, thanks. You can have Bateman. I'll take this next.
I'm fine with Bobby another year. I just got Richie Grant. He can train behind Bobby and eventually replace him.
But
they're similar in like size and the way they
play. I want a better.
Except Richie's probably a better playmaker.
I want a better safety. You can have Bateman. It's not a bad pick. Bateman's going to be he's a good receiver, but I wish you would have taken a safety a little bit, you know. I wish you would have took safety first. I don't like Bobby McCain. I want to get a better guy in there. But fine.
I just took Richard Grant.
Well, yeah, but he's whatever. I'm going to take Elijah Moore, buddy. I'm taking Elijah Moore. I took my safety.
Come on, bro.
Yep. I'm taking Elijah Moore. We've talked about him before. He played well in 2020. He could be a dangerous slot receiver in the NFL. You know, a lot of team sources say that he's graded. They graded him in a late third round, early fourth round. But I think he could be a dynamic receiver out of the slot. And I think, you know, he's gone under the radar a little bit. And I know, like I said, I think he was Trayton's favorite. He's one of Trayton's favorite prospects that people kind of sleep on. So it's kind of to piss him off too. So that's what I'm taking. I'm taking Elijah Moore since I got my safety.
That's my boy.
Yeah.
He's my boy, too. I think we all like Moore a lot.
His pro day was pretty impressive. His four-second shuttle and his three-cone drill were, like, top-notch. And he put up 17 reps on the bench at 178. That dude's
impressive.
He's got some impressive strength, so.
And a 4.3-something, too. I mean, a lot of 4.3s, but it showed he had the deep threat ability as well.
I got to catch up to Cody.
I think he's very raw.
I got to get some solid picks here. Get some undercover gems.
I wouldn't be surprised if Moore sneaks into that first round conversation.
Yeah.
Like, I know he's originally kind of put like a day two, even day three guy at first, but I think teams value him a lot more than some of these mock drafts do.
Mm-hmm. So I'm up, and I actually got my number 7 guy right now, and that's Dyami Brown. I noticed him a lot while watching Javonte Williams. And I think he's underrated. His pro day kind of gave me a little bit of pause because he didn't do as well as I was expecting on the 40. Because on tape, he looked like he was a blazer. But on the 40, he didn't do as well as like Jamar Chase and Terrace Marshall and stuff.
He was still 4.4 though, right?
Yeah, he was. That's all. It wasn't terrible, but I was expecting low to mid 4.3, somewhere around there with the pro day. Obviously, combine is like 4.4 or something, but. He's got great size and speed, and he showed it on tape. Poor quarterback play in UNC's, like, having Michael Carter and Javonte Williams run the ball, like, 50 times a game, especially versus Miami, just run all over them. I think it didn't help his stats at all. And make no mistake about it, though, the dude, he averaged, like, 90 yards a game this past year, and he averaged, like, 20 yards a catch and 8 touchdowns this year on that offense with a quarterback we're not even talking about. They don't have a great quarterback. But I originally did have him top 5, but after the pro day, I had to drop him down to 7.
I like him a lot, too. That's a good pick. I think he's been underrated. Besides, someone who did have him pretty high is Chris Sims. You have him as his 3rd overall receiver. That's your boy, right, Travis? Yeah. He's on your little mountain of honor.
I'll take it.
So if I have another pick, and I am going... I'll go Rondale Moore. This guy is the ultimate boomer bust receiver. He's definitely not going to first round. There's no chance with the injuries he's had the past couple of years. But if you go off his freshman tape, he's easily a first round receiver for me. He shows so much explosiveness, and there's videos of him squatting like 500 pounds at his size. He's like 5'8". It's just he has insane athleticism, but the past 2 years on his tape, it hasn't been as impressive after the injuries. And that's why I think he's a round 2-3 guy. You take a shot on him because his tape on the field before the injuries was just so electric. And I think it'd be worth it to see how he bounces back. And with like pick 50, I'd be fine with that. Travis, you're back up unless you guys
all right. Well,
want to tell me how great my pick was.
Oh, Rondale Moore? Yeah. I like him. I think he has some injury concerns, though.
And yeah, that's the biggest thing.
With like Fuller, Parker, and Preston already. I would be a little concerned with him, but obviously if he's your choice here, you're probably not taking him over some other guys. But I mean, athletically, at his size to run a 4.29, bench press like 24 times, like he's a freak. I'm a good size, but he's kind of a boomer bust, like you said it pretty well there.
Just beat out Jakeem Grant and Mac Hollins. Those seems like a better option than him. Well, since I'm about to take another safety, so I really would like to get our defense right, I'm also going to be Adam Schefter. Do you guys see that the Lions just signed former Seahawks cornerback Quentin Dunbar to a one-year contract?
Yeah, look at that.
Just happened.
Breaking news,
baby. That's why I was on my phone. I am.
By the time people hear this tomorrow, they're going to see 100 tweets about it.
But
not really breaking news.
Wow, Travis had it first. I'm predicting it. It hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen, and they're going to be like, wow. Anyway, I am taking Jamian Sherwood from Auburn. He is a very good man-to-man defensive safety. You know, very good physical skill set. You know, you give him an assignment, he's gonna take care of that assignment. He's very athletic. He's 6'2", 220 pounds. Dude's a heavy hitter. The dude can hit. You know, what I saw from him. He's good in coverage. Like I said, he's good in man, but the dude can knock a dude out. I mean, he can run up into the box, and he's a good tackler. He only missed 4 out of 71 attempts in 2020, so he's a good tackler, and you know, he's an explosive tackler. He's a playmaker. I've seen a lot of people say, you know, he can change a game. You know, with his with his hits, getting turnovers, the dude can lay it pretty heavy. So that's what I'm taking.
All right, Cody, you're up. I have a feeling I know who you're going with.
You're probably right, because you know I've talked him up a lot. Have to go with Amari Rodgers here.
Yep.
He's my guy. Good call, Trayton. I know I'm a big Amari Rodgers fan. Just his body type. He's built like a running back, but he's still got enough speed to blow by corners if he wants to, probably in that 4.4, maybe 4.5 range at the most, but... he was second in the country in yak yards behind Devontae Smith, so he's a yak monster. You know, we have Will Fuller stretching the field on the outside. Put someone like Amari Rodgers in the slot. Oh, my God, it would be amazing to see, because he's got the quickness and the speed to beat guys, but he also can break tackles because, like I said, he's a running back with the ball in his hands. I even think during his pro day, he took some snaps at running back as well, so he's got some of that versatility we like in our slot receivers, like Lynn Bowden. We like to give him some running plays as well. But I think Rodgers is one of my favorite prospects in the draft, so I would be thrilled to take him here.
Yeah, whoever gets him is going to get a great steal in the draft. He's going to be a good player.
I really think the only reason he's not being talked about is like a first-round type guy is because he – I don't know if he has the versatility to play outside, so he's probably exclusively a slot. But that's fine with me. I think a slot receiver is pretty damn important.
I think there's a lot of slot receivers, and that's why, like, Moore, Rodgers, Waddle, Elijah Moore. There's a lot of slot receivers.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I think I'm just going to finish off the safety position here for me. I can't believe Trayvon Morrig is still on the board. He's like a lot of people's number one safety. There were some things about his game I didn't like as far as how reckless he can be sometimes coming up. But sometimes that works out well. Like, he can lay the wood, make some big hits. He's a ball hawk, too. I think he had close to double-digit interceptions at TCU. So he's an all-around playmaker. We've developed DBs pretty well under Flores, so if we can just teach him a little discipline to prevent mistakes, I'd be thrilled with him as well. He's probably going to come off the board in the first round of the draft, if not early day two, so... I don't know. I don't think we would actually end up getting him, but in this scenario, for this mock, just the preview, some of these guys, Richie Grant and Trevon Morrig would be a hell of a safety tandem. So that's my pick.
All right.
Good pick. Good pick.
That's decent. I think Cody's winning the draft, to be honest.
Yeah, I think so.
It is.
I think we just.
You're going to post the poll on Twitter, right?
No, I'm not. Because
Cody
went to kill this draft, and I just went with people that I liked, so whatever.
Yeah, I was hoping you would take more from him, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, whatever. All right, well, I'm gonna take another one.
Some good receivers on the board, though.
Oh well, this one you're gonna get pissed. So I am going to take Amon-Ra St. Brown from USC. His brother played for Notre Dame.
USC.
Yep.
Trojans.
Yep. Damn. Yep. His brother played for Notre Dame. I like him. He's a solid receiver. He's 6'1", 195. Again, I think 4:43 was his 40 time, somewhere around there. He played well in 2020. He had some solid performances. I'm going to kind of hurt myself saying this. He probably should have returned to USC for another season. I think that if he would have stayed for one more season, I think he would have been a solid, had a solid season with USC this coming season. But regardless, he was still very productive. Quality size. He's very quick. You wouldn't think about it, seeing how think that he was with how big he is. But yeah, that's who I would take. I like him, and I had to take like kind of a homer pick. We loved his brother when he was at Notre Dame, so he's kind of.
But if he's at USC, is that a homer pick? That kind of Notre Dame.
It kind of does. So I think I get out of it a little bit, but I think I just like him because I know how much I liked his brother when he was at Notre Dame. So, and going with picks that just aren't really popular ones, I keep seeing him on the mock drafts, running all the mock drafts, and I always see his name, and I've just tried taking him. So I'm going him.
I like him. He's a really tough receiver. Like he doesn't time, like he's not like crazy fast or like have great size. He's not doesn't really pop in those areas, but he's a really tough receiver who makes a lot of great catches and can run after the catch.
Yes, I was gonna say that was one thing. Yeah. Watching the USC games, the late West Coast games this past year, he always made the catch that you needed. A lot of third down, you know, needed to get that first down. He was the go to. Like if they needed a first down, that was the guy they were going to, and you just knew he was gonna catch it. And he's just very good overall. So, all right, Tran.
All right, so I got my last receiver and safety. So I'm gonna start off with my last receiver, Jalen Darden out of North Texas. He was probably my favorite tape to watch in the whole draft. If you haven't watched, he's another guy like Kadarius Toney. If you haven't watched him, you gotta go watch him. And just based on his quotes, I would draft him because one of his quotes was, "Making guys miss is like brushing my teeth. Got to do it every day."
I love that.
But yeah, for real, he's a deep threat. He plays a little bit bigger than what he is. He's a small guy, but thing is, just speed, making guys miss. He's just electric on the field. I think he would be a good guy to replace Jakeem Grant. You can put him on the return team because he's so electric on the field, and that's my guy. And then to close it out,
gotta get a safety.
It's between two guys, but I'm gonna go with the potential, and I'm gonna go Andre Sisco out of Syracuse. He's the most intriguing safety out of in the class in terms of where he should go and the reason and where he will go. I think because there's a lot of disagreement of where he should go, but when you turn on the highlights, he's near the ball every single play. It seems like. He does overplay sometimes, and he gives up some big plays. But I think if anyone can coach it out of him, Flores can, and make him discipline, make him see the field the way he wants to. But that was the one thing we were missing, like Cody said, with Richie Grant, with our safeties. They played solid, and we didn't really give up any big plays, but we didn't really make any plays. It was basically just X making plays on the back end. And I think he would give us not only picking off balls, but he punched balls out, recovered fumbles, caused fumbles. I think he would be a great playmaker for our defense. He is coming off an injury. That's the biggest
problem. That's what I was going to say. If it wasn't for that knee injury he's coming back from, he'd probably go a lot higher. He'll probably slip a little bit because of that. But if he returns to health, I mean, that's a hell of a pick.
Mm-hmm.
Ball hawk.
All right, Travis.
All right, my last pick. I've taken two safeties. So I'm going to finish this off with another receiver. And I'm actually going to roll with the second one. The second receiver that I had taken in my mock draft, and I'm going to take, and I'm telling you, people are going to laugh at this, but I would not mind having him. I know I kind of picked the people that are the players that I picked that I want, but I honestly, this one, I really do think he's
Nico.
Yep. Nico Collins from Michigan. I'm telling you, people are sleeping on him. He is this dude. He's going to be a stud. I'm telling you, 6'4", 215. You know, he's got a pretty solid 40 time, and you know that's why I took in my mock draft. And just like with Smith, I'm gonna stick with that's gonna be my my other receiver that I stick with. He's a good receiver. I mean, he sat out this past season, but you know he had a pretty solid season in 2020, and that was with inconsistent streaky quarterback play. And, you know, I think if he would have not sat out this past season, I think he would have had a good season this past season in college. But yeah, I think he's another one I think people are sleeping on. I think you can get him in the later rounds, big receiver. Like I said, pretty good speed, runs a good, he's a good route runner. And I think we saw a lot of him. He kind of saw, I know I saw Flores, kind of working with him, at the Senior Bowl. So I like him. I had him in a mock draft. And I'm going to stick with him in this draft.
Yeah, he's got a lot of potential. He's got a high ceiling. I think he probably isn't necessarily what we're looking for as far as receiver talent with Parker, and I'm assuming Preston Williams is still part of our plans. I think we're probably going to look for more speed and more slot options. But if he slips a little bit and we're sitting on the clock and he's there, I mean, he could be an upgrade over Preston Williams.
Agreed. Sure. Agreed.
All right, Cody, last pick.
Last pick. To top off this amazing draft I've had, going Dwayne Eskridge from Western Michigan. I like his game a lot. I think he would be a higher draft pick if it wasn't for playing in the MAC conference. He's got a lot of speed. I think he only timed in the 4.4 range, but I think he plays faster than that. He's got kick return ability. You know, this is another potential replacement to get Jakeem off the roster. He had a great showing at the Senior Bowl too. He's one of those guys in the one-on-one drills. He just separated from people with ease. Like, he has this suddenness about his steps. Like, he just blows by guys. So I would be very happy with him to round off this receiver core. I think this is a home run for myself personally. Sorry.
You know what's funny?
Y'all need to do a little more studying next week. You can't let me get away with that.
No, you know what? I was just about to say.
Trey, I like my draft,
you know what's
actually.
Funny
Screw
is like
you.
My list, the list that I made, I kind of made it like based off of players that I thought we could get. And Cody does all this talking about fantasy football, and this dude just goes in for the kill. Like, he didn't even do it like realistically. This is insane.
What do you mean realistically?
Like, okay, some of these players, are you really think we're gonna get them? Like, you just went in for the straight kill, homie. Jesus.
I mean,
what is this fantasy? Is this a fantasy?
I mean,
is this a fantasy Madden draft?
We drafted Noah in the first round last year. Anything's possible with
Flores. I'm just giving Cody shit.
I mean, we're looking at each of these picks in a vacuum. Obviously, I don't think we're going to get Amari Rodgers and Dwayne Eskridge.
Well, look.
But like, we're just saying, you know, if Amari Rodgers is gone, the next best option to me is Dwayne Eskridge.
Don't shit on my list, okay? I didn't want to be proclaimed as that guy who just handled this as a fantasy football draft like we know Trayton does. I'm just here to
I don't play fantasy.
I'm just
football,
here to start
so.
Shit, honestly. I'm trying to piss you off.
You're good at that.
All right.
You're good at
but this dude.
I'm going to read off our teams real quick.
Do you really want to do that? Cody won it.
Yeah. Hey, I like my team.
I like my team too.
Trey, what was your team again? Remind me.
Jamar Chase, Kadarius Toney, Diami Brown, Rondale Moore, Jalen Darden, and then I had Holland and Cisco at safety. I got three of my top seven receivers and two of my top four safeties. So I'm
that's okay.
It's
not
that's
bad.
Solid.
And then
I think Chase and Tony are a pretty good pairing as far as their skill set.
Yeah. And then Travis got Devontae Smith, Terrence Marshall Jr., Elijah Moore, Amon St. Brown, and Nico Collins. And then you got Jamar Johnson at safety and then Sherwood at safety.
Jamar Johnson's going to be a beast.
I did not.
I like your receivers, Travis. Your safeties. Ooh.
I didn't have either of those on my list.
I'm telling you guys, Jamar Johnson. See, I took, but that's the thing is when I did it, I kind of did it as like, I don't know. I didn't really make my list the right way, to be honest. I was trying to, I don't know, be different. It works sometimes, though.
Hey, it's your list.
It's my freaking list.
It'd be too different.
It's going to work.
And then Cody's average draft was Pitts, Waddle, Bateman, Rogers, Eskridge, and then Ricky Grant and Morey get safety.
Let's just go with all the favorites.
Yeah.
This dude just went for all the home runs. I hope none of them work out for you.
You're the one who didn't pick Pitts when he was there too for you.
I gotta stick with. Look, I can't be like these other guys who are all of a sudden like it, you know how it is. And not saying you are, but you know how it is. Every week it's like we're high on this certain player. I'm just gonna stick with what I want, and you guys know I want Smith. And then I want Najee. I think Smith it doesn't really matter. Whoever you pair with Fuller, that offense is going to be fun. So fuck the haters who think that, one being Chad, I'll shout him out real quick. He thinks that was a terrible contract and that Fuller, you know, oh, he doesn't stay healthy, which you guys actually called me out for that, but I don't care. The dude was on pace for 1,000 yards, so it doesn't really matter. Whoever we pair him with, you know, I'll be happy with Pitts, but I had to stick with Smith, you know? Like, everyone's just switching, and they're switching up, and now they want this guy, now they want that guy. I gotta stick with my man. That's my man, bro.
I would have want Smith at 2 if I had the second pick as well.
I'd like Pitts, though. I will say, Cody probably... I don't want to admit it. I'm a little angry. Cody probably won the draft, but I'm still going to shit on it because I like mine better. I like them as people.
There is an advantage of picking 3. Like, you get, I think, the big 4, and there's a big drop-off after that at receiver. So if I get Pitts and Waddle, like, that kind of that is an advantage. True.
You did well.
Could have been you if you didn't pick you didn't say Landry for the trivia question.
All right, and then just before we wrap it up, was there anyone you want to give a shout-out to at safety or wide receiver that we didn't hit on? I got one at safety. I like our Darius Washington. I think the only reason he's not getting talked about is because of size, but that doesn't mean he's not going to be good in the NFL. It's becoming more open with smaller guys, and he has a similar size to the Honey Badger with Kansas City. So I think he's a really good tackler, and he's willing, and he doesn't shy away from contact. So I'd be all right with him.
What about you guys? Kind of big though.
Yeah.
For me, at receiver, a couple of guys I like. Shai Smith from South Carolina. He's a really good slot option, a natural receiver. I wouldn't be surprised if we target him at some point. Dimitri Felton is another.
Yeah, I like him.
Potential slot guy that might fit the bill. He ran a pretty slow 40, but he has his burst that doesn't really show up on the 40. So I would like him as a slot option.
He had a good senior day. Back.
Yeah, at the Senior Bowl. Yeah, he abused people in one-on-one. Tylan Wallace is a guy I like a lot, but he had a lot of injury concerns, so I stayed away from him. If it wasn't for that, I would have probably drafted him for sure. And then at safety, the one guy I think is DeMar Hamlin from Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be surprised at all if we target him on day 3. I think Flores talked him up at the Senior Bowl. They had this moment where Hamlin made a great play in the game, and Flores like went nuts on the sideline. He's just a very disciplined safety. He doesn't have like crazy athleticism, but I think he's just a really smart, intelligent safety that I think Flores might covet. So don't be surprised if we go DeMar Hamlin on day 3.
It's like Brandon Jones last year.
Yep.
Similar. Travis, did you have any that we didn't
talk
about?
No, I think I would have, like, I probably would have shouted out my dude from IU because I did go back and forth on if I wanted to actually pick him, if I wanted an elite, you know, draft. But since I decided, fuck it, take him. I'll probably just shout out Tunsil because he's the gift that keeps on giving with all the moves. But I'd say you guys covered it all pretty much. Like I said, I would have shouted out the safety from IU because I really do like him, but I decided to go with him because I don't care what people say. So, yeah.
Hey, good for you.
Tunsil's our guy. We got to retire that jersey.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you saw his statue on Instagram. I'm cool with it. Throw a bong on that shit.
Yeah,
dude is just...
Hey, if we ever win a Super Bowl, I always said I would, like, smoke a big stogie, but if we win a Super Bowl, I think I'm going to do the gas
mask. I'm doing it, too. Yo.
That's got to be the tradition. Yeah,
send him a ring because that is just unreal. Like, people don't understand, like, even with the trade of moving, you know, with trading for 12 and then trading back to 6, people are like, oh, man, it's not that big a deal. But it really is. I mean, you look at it, like, we've gotten so much, you know, just building, just from that trade alone, we've gotten so much from it. So we are in such a good position. Like, I joke about our drafts and stuff and the people that different players we want. But in the grand scheme of things, there's not one player that you guys took in your drafts that we can really worry about or really shit on, because no matter, we are just in such a good position. I mean, it's gonna be exciting. I really hope these, you know, I've talked about it before with us building a dynasty, and I think that's what we are really actually doing. And, you know, I'm kind of pessimistic saying, you know, and saying things like, well, what if we take a defensive guy at 6? I know we said that earlier in the show, so I'm trying in the back of my mind, like, prepare myself for something stupid, but I don't think we're gonna do anything stupid. For the first time in being a Dolphins fan, I think we're actually, guys, we're good. Like, we don't have to cry anymore except for tears of joy. It's great. So anyway.
We're not used to Deion Jordan win-win situations. Yeah. Deion Jordan. Yeah. Don't bring that up. That's a name that should not be said again. This is like, damn. Trying to fuck this up for us, Trayton.
Gotta keep it in the back of our minds.
He should be like him who should not be named. I'm never saying his name again.
All right, never again on the show. I got you.
No off limits.
That about wraps up the pod. We'll be previewing two more positions next week. But follow us on Twitter, 3guysinapod. Our ads are under there. It's the letter 3. It's spelled out as the number 3. But yeah. See you boys next week.
Peace.
Great show, boys.